I do think that it's so pushed down everyone's throats to go to college to get a degree because that's what you do. And no one's teaching you how much you're going to be in debt due to your degree and which degree you choose.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 69 with virtual customer support specialist Emily Kelly.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. So glad that you could join us today. My name is JC Preston, and in this session of the AOL podcast, I'm joined by the fitness astronaut and my co-host, Layla Ramadian. We're part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people find their own personal freedom. And each week, every Thursday, we bring you a lesson or message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. This session is brought to you by Fizzle.co. So, you know, we're officially starting at 2017. Things are going to change for all of us as they do every year, and life continues to go on doing that. You know, I've been seeing a ton of you guys joining me in Fizzle, and I want to say congrats to you in doing making that choice. And, you know, it shows me that you might be actually serious about your future, not just using this show as an entertainment. So great work. For those of you who haven't joined us yet, it's not too late to get started on that new lifestyle business of yours. And in fact, one comment I've received last month from a new subscriber goes something like this. Hey, JC, thanks so much for pounding the drum for Fizzle, as I do each and every week, it seems like. I've been trying to build a business for 2 years now on my own and been struggling pretty hard. And I recently took advantage of the advice that the crew there gave on Fizzle Friday and built a mastermind group. I have to say, discussing my business with some people at the same level has really helped, and I don't feel like I'm alone anymore. So thank you so much, signed Michael. Yeah, you bet, Michael. I mean, I appreciate you writing me the note in the first place, and when I first got on started on New Inceptions, one of the first things I did in Fizzle was get involved in a mastermind group myself. You know, and so many people committed to making their business work on there, you know, compared to, you know, the free groups that you can find on Facebook. And, you know, one of the first things that I always say when building your business is that networking and even partnering is one of the best ways that you can utilize to build a business. And, you know, having that kind of built right into Fizzle is definitely one of its perks, but there's many others there too, and I hope that you stick around long enough to find out what those are. So, yeah, but if you're an audience member and you haven't joined us on there yet, find out what Fizzle's all about yourself, and join Michael, myself, and even today's guest, Emily, by going to newinceptions.com/Fizzle and getting your first 5 weeks free. And make 2017 your best year yet. Now, as I mentioned, Emily Kelly is today's guest. I got to know Emily when she filled in for Steph at Fizzle when Steph took her maternity leave. And come to find out, at one of our Fizzle meetup events, Emily actually lives here in Indy with Layla and myself. We quickly realized that she was pretty knowledgeable at what she did, which was working remotely as a virtual assistant. And today she finds herself working with solopreneurs around the world who need a little help with their customer support. In our conversation with her, we find out about how she became a VA in the first place, what she recommends to folks coming out of college so they don't get burnout on their work, and some pointers in putting emotion into writing. You know, the truth is that it's a good idea to start small in a particular niche and don't go big right away. Being a VA is a great way to do just that. And from a couple of clients, you can quickly scale yourself up and have more work than you really know what to do with. And I've actually seen that happen a couple of times recently. Show notes are available at newinceptions.com/69, and I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm JC, and y'all know Layla. How you doing today, Layla?
Doing great, JC. How are you doing? I'm on a huge adrenaline rush. I just worked out for an hour, and
yeah.
Oh man, it feels great. But I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Things are picking up. I'm just so busy.
It doesn't sound like the December glooms are getting to you at all. That's for sure.
Not at all. And guess what? I finished all my Christmas shopping yesterday.
Whoa.
Done.
Good job.
Wrapped under the tree.
Wow. Already wrapped.
Oh, yeah. Under the tree. Used all my boxes. And I guess one thing I have to do is write the cards. And that's it. So.
You overachiever, you.
I got it.
Wow. Anyway, so today we're actually being joined by Emily Kelly. And Emily was someone that I actually got the opportunity to meet through Fizzle. And she was the person that when Steph, who if you go back to her session, went on maternity leave. And so as we were talking to her back then, Emily was the one that filled in her shoes when she was away. And funny enough, comes to find out that she was actually here in town, and she just kind of showed up to one of our Fizzle meetups one time.
Yeah, I remember. It was so awesome that we had someone local that was part of Fizzle. It was like, oh, small world.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And, the thing is that she kind of has an interesting background that could definitely enable her to be that support specialist that, I think that they were looking for. And, the truth of the matter is that she's going to be talking about a lot of the things that has made her successful since graduating college when did you graduate college?
I was done with school in 2013.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
So within the past couple of years, I mean, she's been becoming somewhat of a little rock star doing the work that she does. And we're going to kind of go into that about what's made her be able to do as well as she has. So anyway, welcome to the show today, Emily.
Welcome, Emily.
Thank you so much. Thanks, guys. I'm excited to be here.
So Emily, let's go back in time a bit. Who was Emily growing up? What kind of position did you envision yourself with while you were going through school?
You know, to be honest, I think from a very young age, I didn't ever necessarily say, this is absolutely what I want to do when I grow up. My favorite activity as a kid was writing. I would sit at my parents' dining room table and I would write stories, and long stories for being so young. And I would save them all. And my parents actually a couple times had them made into like a hardback book for me. Mm-hmm. So I always knew that I loved writing. I just never really thought of it as a career path. As silly as that might sound, it didn't sound like a job to me. I just thought it was more of what I enjoyed. So that's, I guess, where I was when I was younger. But when I was going through school, high school even, my parents weren't what you think of as the typical millennial raising parents. They didn't say, whatever you want to do, you'll be successful. My dad ingrained in me that you need to follow a path that's going to make you money, mm-hmm. not, rainbows and butterflies, everything. And that's not the type of person that I am. I'm very, passion driven. So I was inflicted, I think, growing up and even through college, with what I wanted to do, because I had him telling me to follow some, very strict, get a smart degree rather than get something that you truly love. So I was conflicted, I would say.
I see. And what did you end up going to school for?
So when I started college, I started studying dental hygiene. Because, again, you can work a great work week. You can come out making a pretty solid salary and you have job security. Mm-hmm. And I had zero interest in teeth, like none, not even 1%. So that did not go very well. And I ended up switching to dietetics. Mm-hmm. My sophomore year, thinking I would be a dietitian. And this is a continual path through college. So I could not come up with what I wanted to do. And I knew what I loved, but I couldn't fit it into a major. So by the end of it, I had switched so many times that in order to be done with school, I had to just decide on general studies because I had switched so many times. So that was a big disappointment, I would say, for me.
So did you have any creative influences while you were growing up? I mean, did you have any entrepreneurial family members or artists or even farmers in the family that kind of guided you or you were influenced by any chance?
Not specifically in my family, honestly. A lot of doctors, nurses, just business professionals in my family. My neighbor growing up in the house that my parents lived in across the street, her name was Pat, and she owned she had a studio in her house where she designed basically interior design pieces. And she would graciously let me come over and bother her and sketch and write and draw in this little studio that she had in the back of her office. So I would say she would have been, as a young person, one of my creative influences. Mm-hmm. And also music. I think through music, I would listen to and buy CDs constantly. And that would inspire a lot of my writing too. But my dad worked remotely while I was growing up. And so he was always home. So I had an itch to work remotely, I would say, from a young age, just because I saw how fantastic it was for our family.
Got it.
Mm. Yeah, so, I mean, what kind of work was he actually doing? I mean, or is that something that you can let us know?
Or? he was an operations manager for a fundraising company.
Oh, okay.
And so he just basically trained new people that were coming on to staff in various positions. But he was home always when we were younger, and he basically, I mean, he worked full-time, but he played Mr. Mom, and my mom worked full-time too. So it was a perfect balance for us kids growing up to have our dad home, and he loved it, and it gave him the flexibility he needed while still being able to, you know, support our family at the same time. Mm.
Sounds like what I'm lining myself up for, so.
Yeah, good goal.
Cool.
That's good. Now, I have a question about that. Do you find that it was so good for you to have your dad work remotely? Did you enjoy that, having him there? Because some people say, oh, I never saw my dad. My dad was never there. He was always working.
Yes, it was one of the best things that I could ever ask for as, you know, a kid and a teenager growing up. My dad is one of my best friends. So, I definitely formed a really strong relationship. And he's not like a super invasive person. So if we needed him, he was there. And he had just a lot of great advice. So to have him there at all times. And you know, those little things, like he could pick us up from anywhere, and there's a lot of conversations that can be had, you know, driving your kids to and from. You don't get that very often when you work, you know, full time and you're away from your kids. So I think I learned a lot from him, in those, you know, short periods of time.
Gotcha. Now, I asked that because I want to have that. And I always was curious to know what it's like to be a child and have a parent work remotely and what the feedback and experience is from that child. So that's why I asked.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And I would, with zero hesitation, recommend it to anyone that's, you know, capable.
Wow, that's cool. So yeah. When you actually, when was the first time that then you actually kind of got a taste for entrepreneurship and in general yourself?
So my junior year of school, I started out at a really big college. I went to IU. And after my sophomore year and changing my major so many times, I felt like I was throwing money down the drain. And I made a really tough decision. And I decided, because, you know, I was paying for my school and I knew the debt that I was racking up for basically nothing, I decided to move home and go to IUPUI to A, save some money, and B, figure out what I wanted to do. And I also wanted to be able to work. And, you know, obviously Indianapolis has a much larger job field than in a small town like Bloomington. Right. It's pretty much impossible to find a job at IU. Not impossible, but it's tough. And so I moved home and I started school again, and I applied for a job on Craigslist with zero experience in the field. And I just basically, you know, was honest and gave real life experience as to why I thought I could be a great fit for the job. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I have zero shot in getting this, but no harm in trying. And so it was for a health coach at a medical weight loss facility, a new company that was just starting, and the doctor needed someone to start the practice with him, basically. Mm. And it was a certification that I would have to get, but it was, you know, I could get it upon, you know, being hired, and they were going to pay for that. So I actually ended up getting a call the next day asking to interview. And I was like, no way, is this real? And so I go into interview and was just myself. And background, I had a lot of passion and interest in nutrition, just personally, in fitness. And I had done a lot of researching on my own and lived it in my own life. So it wasn't like a shot in the dark. I did know quite a bit. And he ended up hiring me mid-interview. And yeah, it was very exciting. And, he was an entrepreneur himself. He's a doctor, and, he owns about five other businesses as well as a lot of rental property. And he's very involved in real estate. And so he hired me and said, can you go to Vegas in 2 weeks for your training? Like, my parents, I call my dad and he's like, Emily, Elizabeth, this sounds like a scam. And I'm like, Dad, I promise, I was just at the doctor's office. Like, it's not a scam. And long story short, it wasn't. And I got certified and started working with him and was there for 4.5 years. So I obviously loved it. And it was a great, you know, beginning to my, you know, desire to be an entrepreneur, because he was, and I helped him to grow one of his businesses.
Right. And what did you get out of that working there with him that you might have, like, compared to any high school experiences or anything like that when you had previously worked?
Oh, goodness. It was, I would say it was nothing similar at all. In high school, I had worked as a waitress. I was a lifeguard. I worked in sales, but all for very corporate companies. Mm-hmm. So really no flexibility. You did what you were asked, and there were strict, you know, guidelines for what you did. And with, as a health coach, and then I was his program director, he pretty much gave me free rein, and I did everything from the finances to the marketing. We filmed commercials, and I pretty much did it all. So it was a huge, huge jump from, you know, being told what to do and then being told, make the decisions, you know, do it, and then ask me, don't, you know, wait until I give you my okay. So it gave me a lot of experience and confidence in myself at a young age that I was able to make those decisions on my own.
Cool, cool. Yeah, you know, that's, you know, in the startup world, I mean, that's really, like, something that I've noticed is that, for one, you have to have that autonomy to be able to be to function well, but you also get the opportunity to wear a lot of different hats. I mean, I don't know if what your experience there was like, but when the startup that I was with for the last couple of years before I started focusing on new inceptions, I mean, I was doing design, I was doing web, I was doing marketing, I was, you know, it's just like all these different things.
Yes.
And I personally love it. I like having to change it up from time to time. So
yeah, it definitely is nice, and it gives you a change of pace for sure.
I would say from personal experience, you are so blessed and lucky that you found someone on Craigslist as well. Second, I think it's good that you found someone that you could trust and that trusted in you and didn't give you a bad experience. And
absolutely.
Some people like me have had those bad experiences where you trust someone and then you find out that they take advantage of you. And so what is your advice to someone when you were in that situation? Like, you were very lucky, but for someone who isn't always as lucky, what advice would you give them to know that that's a good situation to be put in? Someone who is, I would say, we're both naive, we're innocent coming out of college, we will do anything that can, we'll do anything for a dollar. And then not to mention, I did anything for a dollar. My first job was at Disney World for $6.40 an hour, and I thought I was the richest person in the world.
Oh.
But for someone who is trusting, like in your situation, what advice would you give someone who is coming out of college or who has not had any experience, because they don't want to get burnt out. Some people can get burnt out and they're like, you know what? I'm going to go work for corporate America. Oh, I'm going to work for something very traditional. What would your advice be on that?
That's tough, because I do know that I was very lucky, and I don't like to say you're lucky, because, you know, I think that you take chances, and, you know, if you put yourself out there enough times, eventually, you know, hopefully you'll land on your feet. But I would say, as far as applying for a job that sounds too good to be true, or, you know, could be a scam, or, you know, you just never know. Research, research, research. If you can't find a solid company website, if you can't find their location, if their location is incredibly sketchy, especially if you're looking to work remote, I would just do your research. Look on Glassdoor, look up, you know, business reviews. And I think in your gut, sometimes you just get a feeling. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. I mean, this doctor wasn't going to pay me an outrageous amount of money. I think I started out at like $14 an hour. So it's not like he was telling me he was going to pay me some huge salary. So I would say if it sounds too good to be true, you know, there's a good chance that it is.
Got it.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I mean, like, and you had mentioned that you found him on Craigslist, and when I was starting out, my wife Maria was looking for a job at the time because she had been downsized. Like, you know, that's just the way the things are, is that you just, you know, you're working for a company and they decide that they want to, you know, kick you out because they don't have the money or the resources to pay you. And so, you know, I had previous experience myself where I had been working with a career coach. And one of the places that he always suggested was to look at Craigslist for, you know, just random little jobs here and there, or, you know, something, because we were even looking at, you know, maybe she can get started with Uber or, you know, whatever. And so I actually stumbled onto the current position that she had through Craigslist. And so I guess, you know, what kind of experience, I mean, is Craigslist still something that you would think that people, if they're looking for a short-term or a long-term job, is that still something that people can pursue safely, or what's...
I think so. I think you just have to know what you're looking for. Granted, I think it was back in 2010 that I think, you know, obviously a lot's changed in that period of time, but I would say the biggest thing to look for is the scams tend to not tell you what company they are. That's what I've noticed the most. Like, it'll give it like this law office, or, you know, just it'll say law office or doctor's office, or, you know, this tech startup. It doesn't give you the name. And I think those are typically scams. Mm-hmm. So if there's no specifics and you can't find contact information, then I would say just don't even bother, in my opinion. Yeah.
And another thing that I tried doing was, if there was a place that she was supposed to go to for an interview, that we would actually go check the place out beforehand.
Good.
To make sure that it actually existed.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's very, very wise. Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, I was just kind of curious as to how your experience went with all that and kind of compare it to hers. But, you know, one thing that many people struggle with in finding jobs or starting a business that they actually enjoy working in or on is that they have, you know, they do it because they either feel that there's a need for it, or that they have, you know, the life that they're currently living is not up to par. And, you know, when I was going to school, all my years in school, you know, I didn't necessarily see school as a means to an end, or, you know, that I had to get a degree to get a certain job or something like that. For me, I saw school as it's just what you did because you're a high achiever. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, when it comes to starting your own business, a lot of my mentors and people that I've tapped into over the years say that business is for people that are high achievers and not those that are just wanting to get by. And I was actually kind of interested in what you thought in regards to what kind of mindset does it take to have the success that you've had with even the doctor's office versus, you know, just that getting by mentality. Would a, you know, getting by a C, you know, just go for the minimum, would that have worked with him? And maybe kind of tell me why it wouldn't have.
It definitely would not have worked for him. But going back to what you were saying, I hated school. I did fine in school. I was like an AB student, but I didn't like it. And so I don't know that it 100% translates, mm-hmm. but I didn't like school because I didn't feel like it was all useful. And I know that sounds terrible and it's not a good outlet, but for work, you're doing a job and there's a reason for it. And so it's much easier for me to go above and beyond in work than it was in school. Right. Might be because I'm getting paid. I don't know. but no, it would not have worked if I did mediocre or C average work for him. Mostly, I think, because A, I had not proved myself at all. If you go into a job and just do it decently, there's no incentive for him or her to want to keep you around, A, or B, want to promote you, or put trust in you. I think you have to, you know, prove you're trustworthy in order to get more freedom in your workplace. So no, I think that you need to put 100% effort when you are, especially when you're hired by someone else. You know, if you're working remotely, you can slack off for an hour or two because you're working for yourself and you can just pick that up, you know, at midnight or 3 o'clock in the morning, whenever you're feeling motivated, mm-hmm. or, you know, you can go on a long stretch. But when you're working in 9 to 5 or whatever it is, you have those hours and you need to prove yourself 100%, I think.
Right. Yeah. And no, I would definitely agree with you on the fact that a lot of college courses are definitely things that they're just teaching you to kind of fill in the time there. Yeah.
The blanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Because it's just, you know, in retrospect for me, you know, I was 9 years at Purdue and just, it was just like, okay. You know, actually, and Layla can probably relate to this because she went through her major, but there was times where I felt like I was in an overglorified math course. And I was just like, how does this apply to actually what I was studying?
I know.
You know, and it's just like, okay, whatever. So
absolutely.
Yeah, it's just, I felt that I had to do well in them, but I was always questioning that myself. So
the way I was looking at college was just to get the degree, get my foot in the door, and then, but have a degree that I could get my foot into multiple doors. Mm-hmm. That was the best advice I ever got from my parents. But I agree with you about sometimes school is a little redundant. It's that time to figure out what you're meant to do. I do think it's important that you have a degree when as a backup. Like, you always want to have a backup plan. That's what NASA taught me, like, always have a backup plan. And one of them is have a degree. I think of athletes and people who are in who are in the entertainment industry, the sport industry, and their career is only for 10 years max. And
yeah, what do they do afterwards?
Yeah, there's a movie I watched called Broke. That was impressive. It was on Netflix. It talks about how the sports players, they didn't know how to manage their finances. Some of them went completely broke. They didn't learn about what 401k was. I'm learning that right still. But, I mean, yeah.
A lot of those athletes, mm-hmm. And I kind of, you know, have a different perspective on them than a lot of people, especially with their college, because a lot of people, even through college, will look at them as like these, you know, huge rock stars that know everything and can deal with everything. And, you know, that's just a perception that they're these larger than life figures. And the truth of the matter is that when the opportunities that I had with by working in a setting where I got to see them on a regular basis, mm-hmm. I never really registered a lot of athletes as being in those larger than lives, because I realized that a lot of them, especially if they were collegiate athletes, tended to act like high schoolers, even as they were, you know, juniors and seniors in whatever sport that they were playing. And, you know, the thing is that I think for a lot of people, college becomes more of a situation where, you know, you grow and mature. But for them, because their focus is so focused on becoming a better and better athlete, that all those other maturity things that they have to, you know, most people deal with as they're going through school, they didn't have to deal with. Yeah. And so that's why you see so many of them when they get into their professional years. Yeah, sure, they don't know how to deal with a 401k, but they also don't know how to behave in like mixed society or like just, you know, being out and about and not pulling stuff out and whatever. So, oh yeah, you know, that would be an interesting documentary for sure, it sounds like.
Oh, it's really good. It was part of the ESPN 30 for 30. And it just, I agree with you. People who even went to college, I remember at Purdue, you have those athlete students that, well, I don't know if we're gonna, you have athlete students that some of them were the engineering students that were so focused. They had the foundation to know that this is not a forever career, or this is a career that's just to help me get through college on a free scholarship. But those who really are trying to focus on sports, it's like the high school thing, just to get the degree and get to the playoffs or get to the NFL and all those other sports affiliations. I do feel that is going to change, because a lot of the athletes that have been through that situation, a lot of them are mentoring the current generation to say, don't be in my situation. I wish I was in your shoes. I wish I knew all this stuff 10 years ago. I'm in jail, or I have $14 million of taxes. I'm all about movies, because that's my, I like movies, and reading is on my strength. Writing is on my strength, but math is my strength. Numbers are my strength. And I have a lot of students that I tutor right now as a tutor. And it's very interesting that even the kids that I'm tutor that are wanting to be musicians or athletes, I tell them, you need to know your numbers. You're not going to survive when you have that agent that's going to tell you, oh, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. Just focus on the job. No, you need to know your numbers. So it's good to achieve high. At the same time, it's good to kind of still stay grounded and know what's going on in the background.
No, I actually have a point to make. I know it's kind of going backwards, but as far as I know, we were talking, I think the athletes came from the discussion of how important it is, you know, to go to college and get a degree, you know, whether it be a backup or not. I do think that it's so pushed down everyone's throats to go to college to get a degree because that's what you do. And no one's teaching you how much you're going to be in debt due to your degree and which degree you choose. So I do think it's important just because I know so many millennials and are in astronomical amounts of debt, and due to the major they chose, they are not seeing, you know, the salary that they need in order to ever get out from under this student loan debt. So I think it would be really important for generations coming, you know, going forward to be educated on A, when they're 17 and 18 taking out these loans, to know, be very smart about what their degree is capable of bringing in. And also to know that there are trades out there. I mean, you don't always have to go the traditional route. And I don't think that that's talked about enough.
I agree. And that's, I totally agree.
So switching up gears a little bit, you know, we were talking about at the beginning of the show how I got to know you. Actually, Layla and I both got to know you through Fizzle and you stepping in for Steph. One thing that I know that she definitely was looking for was someone that, you know, can write empathetically. And many people, Layla and myself included, have learned to write in a passive third person manner, especially those of us who went for a STEM major. And so, you know, I was really just curious as how you would go about helping someone that has kind of dry writing background and wants to add some emotion to it.
Sure. I do think part of it is you're born with it, but for those of you who aren't, or just it doesn't come easily, I think that there are main points that you can focus on to come across as genuine in your responses. So I guess to take you through step by step, if you received an email, whether it be from a friend, a client, a potential client, whatever it may be, read through it, maybe read through it a couple of times. And in your response, make sure that you are, number one, validating something that they're saying. Even repeat it if you have to make sure that you're getting across that you're listening and that you hear it and that they are basically important. Make sure that it's not generic. I know that automation is kind of the key, especially for entrepreneurs right now who are extra busy. But if you do, you know, text expander or something that's, you know, a format for each of your emails, even if you just add in a blip somewhere of a personal touch, it'll give it a better feeling. Make a personal reference to their email. Add it in, you know, with a personal word of encouragement. Give them some advice. Make it feel like their time isn't wasted by sending you an email, especially if it's personal. I know not everyone has time to respond to each email. But if you can offer some sort of advice to make it feel like they really are listened to, I think that gives it more of that empathetic feeling. And end the email. I always suggest ending the email with a concern of their, you know, of their future well-being so that they are more inclined to come back to you in the future, kind of keep them hanging on, not in a bad way, but just so they're still, they feel important to you and they're more likely to come back to your business that way.
So Emily, this all sounds great and nice, but what if people have a ton of folks emailing them and only have a certain amount of time to devote to emails? I'm at a point right now where I'm trying to manage my time better and better. So do you have any tips and tricks and tools to help people? Do you hire help? What kind of skill sets would you look for when you're hiring someone?
I would definitely say that if you have the funds and the capability of hiring help, I think that that's huge and very wise to do. I would say to look for someone that has, if you are someone who is not great at writing, isn't very good at sending personal responses, and just has a harder time connecting through people to people with writing, I would say hire someone with complementary skills, someone that, you know, is opposite of you in that regard. Just a little story. When I was working for Fizzle, Steph told me something that really stuck with me. I had a tough time kind of gathering my confidence when I would have meetings with Corbett Barr. I was a little intimidated, and he's so intelligent and in a completely different way than I am. And Steph said that I needed to focus on the fact that you're good at something that he's not. And, you know, they are the Corbett Barrs of the world need people like you to do the things that maybe he's not so great at. So I think it's really important to acknowledge what you are and what you aren't good at and hire people, you know, to fill in those blanks. If you can't hire anyone, I would say make it a daily reminder on a calendar, on an alarm, something to go through your inbox and knock out just a few emails, whatever it may be, because if you don't, they just continue and continue to rack up. I would say use a service like Text Expander to set up responses that are ready to go, and you can just insert them into the email and click send for things like refunds, cancellations, technical problems, and then save your personal responses for, you know, clients or customers that are really searching for, you know, your thoughts and some words of encouragement.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I'll check it out.
There's you had mentioned that, you know, to send yourself periodical alarms or notifications that you need to check your email.
Yes.
One of the things that I swear by is actually checking your email in the morning and at night, because one of the things that's been said to me numerous times is that your email becomes like other people's way of controlling you still. And if you're trying to start your own business, then that's not going to help you. But if you're helping someone else, then, you know, maybe that might be different depending on what they expect of you. But really, if you have your own autonomy when it comes to that, do it in a way that you're not constantly being kicked out of your creative process. Otherwise, then, you know, you're just never going to be able to get into what's called deep work and being able to do your best.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
For sure. I'm going to do it because the email can be distracting, like Facebook.
Yeah, totally. So, Emily, now that you've had a certain amount of success on your own, what are a few things that you're currently working on?
Oh, yes, I want to know this.
Well, currently I'm working for Jess Couture. She's fantastic. She's an entrepreneur herself. She's working with Teachable right now, and then she also has a DIY website course that helps you build your own website, which is awesome. And personally, I've realized as of, you know, the last couple years that writing is my thing, and I enjoy it, and I would like to help others through my writing, whether it be teaching them how to write in an empathetic way for their customer support emails, or, you know, however I can do that. So I'm currently working on starting something of my own involving my writing services.
Great.
So, Emily, we are getting into our rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I think so.
We do this at the end of the show. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Bring it on.
Okay. So What are three influencers or teachers that have launched you to where you are today?
Okay, I would say 100% my first, you know, boss who was an entrepreneur, who was, his name's Dr. Greg Oliver. Hey, Dr. Oliver. He was definitely number one. I would say my dad, number two. And I would say most recently, Steph Crowder. I mean, shout out to Steph. I think she really pushed me to want to keep going and focus on what I'm good at. So those would be my three.
Excellent.
Awesome. Cool. What's one gift that you like giving others?
Shocking. Handwritten cards. Like, I am a letter writer. So I don't know if you can count that as a gift, but for every present that I give, I write about a page long letter.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's kind of like my signature thing. And if I don't give them, then people, you know, where's my letter? So that's my thing.
Very good.
That's so cool.
What is something you believed as a 21-year-old that you'd now tell yourself is completely inaccurate, and why?
I would say that you're limited by the college degree that you get, simply because I don't think that you can get a degree and you can still do many, many things. It doesn't have to just be what your degree is in.
So you're saying that you believe that you were limited by your degree back then, but you don't think you are now.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay. If you were going to place an ad out into the world, cost free, what would it be and where would you place it?
I would probably place an ad. Let's see. Maybe on Instagram these days. I feel like Instagram ads are all the rage, or Facebook. And something to promote kindness, or positivity, something to promote kindness in our generations.
Do you think there's a lack of that?
I do. Yeah. I don't necessarily know that there's a lack of kindness, but I think that we see so much negativity on a daily basis, and there's definitely the positive factor. The good things that are going on aren't being shown. And so it's very easy to just assume that those things aren't happening anymore, when I think that they still are.
Yeah, I've noticed that my wife's Facebook is much, 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 much different than mine. And there's just a lot of like videos that I don't see on my feed that are like complete insults of other people. And it's just so much negative stuff. It's like, I could not personally, where I'm at now, I could not like even... I wouldn't be able to like use Facebook if all that crap was on there, to be honest.
Very distracting.
So yeah. It's just I don't know. People are constantly, as far as like, you know, yeah, we're all married, and I know that there's a lot of belittling of spouses in that in her feed, and it's just like, yeah.
What? I don't understand.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's just like, you know, being derogatory towards, you know, someone's ball and chain, so to speak. And it's just like, yeah, I don't even, in my circles, I don't even hear that anymore. So yeah, I think a lot of people could benefit from having positive feedback and being kind, mm-hmm. reminded to be kind out there, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree. Well said.
Thank you.
So when you think of the word success, who comes to mind and why?
I guess the first one that, just to be honest, that came to mind was John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneurs on Fire. Maybe just because he's the first podcast that I really dove into and motivated me to, you know, continue this path. And I would say he's the first person that comes to mind. And because of his influential reach, I think he has the power to influence people that haven't even begun their careers or their entrepreneurial journey. And then he also motivates those who have already begun and are already extremely successful.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard plenty of times about JLD, but I can't say that I've had the opportunity to listen to his show, mainly because it's one of those things that, because his show's on a daily basis, it's hard for me to pick up yet another thing that would like take up more time. so on a daily basis. But yeah, definitely if people are looking for, you know, someone that can connect you with those, as we were saying earlier, those high achievers that are doing so well in their businesses, definitely a great guy that I would check out for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So, as we're closing out today, Emily, and thanks again so much for being here. If you're kind of in a solution where, say, maybe the doctor would be, or work, or Fizzle would be without having Steph around, and you know you're struggling, you might be a Corvette, and you know you don't have the skill sets that you do. What would you do to, you know, build and get more engagement with your audience, or if you're wanting to improve your customer support skills, what would you recommend people do?
First, I would say set up a daily routine and as well as a goal to hit with your inbox. I think it eliminates a lot of the stress if you just know that this is what you're going to do each day and this is where you need to be by the end of it. I would also say make sure to validate your customers or clients, their problems or their questions. Make sure that they feel heard. Offer words of wisdom and encouragement, and close your email with a consistent and unique closing.
Cool. And if those folks actually have the ability to hire you or need additional help, where can they find you?
Absolutely. Facebook. I'm on there as Emily Kramer Kelly, or on Instagram as well. Emily Kelly as well on there.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much for being on today, and definitely a pleasure.
All right. Thanks so much, JC and Layla. It was fun.
Thank you so much.
All right. There you go, girls and guys. Thank you so much to Emily for teaching us some good pointers and making our writing a bit more friendly. If you'd like to reach her about her work, feel free to message her on Facebook and or Instagram, as she suggested. That info, again, will be available via our show notes at newinceptions.com/69. Like last week's show, show note extras for this session include videos that complement what we discussed today. In the session, Layla brought up a documentary called Broke by Billy Corbin via ESPN 30 for 30. And the first video is the actual documentary in full length. I personally brought up the term deep work in the discussion, and this is based on Cal Newport's book of the same name. I included an intro video and summary of what that actually is, what deep work actually is. And if you're wondering what might go into becoming a virtual assistant like Emily, I have a third video by Danielle via VA Lifestyle Design, and where she discusses how you can get started yourself. And specifically, she talks about how to choose your services and make a successful transition into doing VA work. And finally, the last video is definitely an extra, but I thought you guys would definitely like it because you know that I like talking about Simon Sinek from time to time. And in this video of his, he describes us millennials. And then after that, I actually added a bonus segment that came out just today. Very, very true stuff. So that's it for today's session 69. Thanks again for checking us out. I really appreciate you listening in. And don't forget, we want to hear from you. You can email us at heyguys@newinceptions.com. And be sure to leave a review of the show on whichever platform you use. iTunes is extremely helpful to us in impacting more folks in the future. And, you know, we doubly appreciate it if you review us there. And next week's chat, Emily joins me once again, but this time as a co-host. In today's session, we mentioned that she works with Jess Couture right now. And if you don't know who that is, you'll definitely want to make a note of her. After being recently on the SPI podcast, her life has changed dramatically, including moving back to North America from London, where she was previously at. And in this particular chat, we expand on what she talked about in that SPI session, including why she pursued helping people with websites as a career, why she's making the big publicity push that she currently is, and what she hopes to help people with in her new DIY Website Academy video series. So that's it again for session 69. Thanks again for joining Layla, Emily, and myself. We really appreciate you guys for taking the few minutes to be with us here today. And we hope you have a few takeaways from this one as well. Until next time, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're doing. And we'll see you here next week.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web at newinceptions.com.